Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
We should be doing daylight savings revolving around the golf season. If the weather starts getting nicer, we should actually move it the other way so that it, like, you know, right now it's 8:21. It's actually 6:21.
You want it dark until 11 a.m.
Yes. Sun comes up at 11.
What if people want to golf in the morning?
Don't you work?
Maybe they work at night.
Okay. Different clocks for everybody.
To rescue us from... you making my brain hurt about what time it is.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
We're back. Happy Thursday. Good morning.
Chilly.
Is it earlier right now than most normal 6 o'clock? I know 6 o'clock is pretty standard, but feels early.
Is it early? Wait, what?
You know how it feel, the real feel? We should do that with time. It's 17, but the real feel is 7. It's 6 a.m., but the real feel to me is like 5:15. Feels earlier.
A time real feel.
Yeah, time real feel. The same thing happens when, can you believe it's already June?
Yeah.
That's you saying it feels like it's mid-May.
Well, that happens more with days of the week, doesn't it, than anything?
Okay, so it's Thursday, but the real feel is Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
If we can do it with temperature, why can't we do it with other things?
Yeah, just do real feel with everything.
Right. The Bills won by 7, but the real feel was like 15.
See, now that's a good idea.
The real feel?
I really like that. Like, yesterday we referenced that Bills-Bengals game where the Bills only lost by 6 in Cincinnati.
Yeah,
remember that?
But the real feel
the
was
real
like
feel
11?
Was they lost by like 20
okay.
in that game. The real feel was 38-18.
Right.
For that football game.
The real feel of the perfect game against New England,
wow.
They won by 30, but the real feel was 100.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they were so perfect that day.
Yeah, real feel 98-3 might have been the real feel
I
for
like
that
it.
Game. I like sports real feel.
We should use this. All right. Put it on the table for the next Sabres game. They win a
Could
game.
Could do it for players too. Like, I don't know how many goals Jack Quinn scored last year, but the real feel was 4.
Right.
Right?
The
real feel on Jack Quinn goals last season was 4, but he probably scored, 12? Something like that.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
The real feel.
Yeah, more real feel in life. All right.
I'm sold.
He scored 15, by the way, last year.
I would not have guessed that.
15 goals.
15, but the real feel is?
6.
Okay, 6.
Yeah, bump him up to 6 a little bit. Not something I ever thought of, but I'm in. Anything. Let's throw it in to sports.
Trying to think of like another really good example where this would apply. The real feel on Liverpool winning the title was actually like 30 points, and it was only like a 12-point difference.
The real feel on James Cook, he ran for 208 yards today. But the real feel, maybe that doesn't work. Sacks, there you go. Like if you a defensive back, or sorry, defensive end could really use real feel because he was all over the quarterback today. Yeah, no sacks,
yeah.
But the real feel was 2.5 because a lot of contact after the ball left.
Right.
You know, he was in the quarterback's field. The real feel, how many times did the Eagles sack Mahomes in the Super Bowl? I don't know the number. The real feel was
25.
100 times.
It felt like every single snap.
Yeah.
He dropped back the pass.
Well, good morning, Jeremy and Joe. We're here with you. We've got Paul coming up, Paul Hamilton at 7 o'clock, and Sal at 8. We've got some honest-to-goodness news. I mean, the Sabres front office starting to take a slightly different shape, and we've got some reporting on other pieces that could still happen. And for Sal, it's rookie camp preview and maybe a quick conversation about Gabriel Davis, who has been cut by the Jacksonville Jaguars after just one season. I have put up a Twitter poll to open up the show, which hilariously, it's not like actually funny, but ties these two together. What's a better idea, Gabe Davis or Eric Staal? Should we start with Staal? Are you getting through this okay? The real feel to you is that the Sabres have franchises folded. It's just how they hired Eric Staal, but your real feel is that the franchise is gone and has died.
It's just they're being run by the 06 Hurricanes.
Right.
Like, someone had a funny tweet on this, like, where a lot of teams just bring back their old players, like, and create an old boys club to run the franchise. And the Sabres are doing that with the 2006 Carolina Hurricanes, of all teams.
It's only two people.
So far. What's Brett Hedekin doing? He's going to get a job in this organization?
Would you take it if it got Brind'Amour as the coach?
Maybe. He's the one guy that I really did want. Brind'Amour as the coach. But it wouldn't feel good. That's the thing. It's such a special assistant to the general manager. He's Dwight Schrute. Assistant to the manager. And yet, it's like, I got Eric Staal back working for the organization. It was gross enough that he got to wear the Sabre uniform at some point in time. And now he is in the organization. It is not like a real, you know, impactful thing on what's going to happen with this hockey team. It's just, though, like, I don't know. This all stinks for fans for 15 years. And even the little things, they do get magnified because they're terrible. I understand that. But it's like even the little things just have to go like a way that you don't like. The lottery the other night, zero expectation that they were going to win that lottery.
And they go down two.
They go down two spots. Sweet, of course. 5% chance that was going to happen. There it is. You go down two spots. Congratulations. And then two nights later, it's, oh, remember that team that you never, ever want to think about because they have your cup? Feels like they have your cup. Yeah, well, we're just going to hire their best player. Yeah, he lives here now. He's going to be working for the organization. Just, it doesn't feel good.
Will he live here for this process? Not that that matters that much. I wonder about that.
I mean, does he work at the arena?
Who knows? Does he have an office? Is he on the road? Yeah, special assistant to the general manager.
Right. I don't know, but he comes from the team I never want to think about for the rest of my life. And now, I mean, again, I don't know how much we're going to hear from him. Maybe never. Maybe we'll never see him do anything for this team. Or maybe he'll become the general manager at some point.
Well,
I don't know.
Maybe
the plan is that someday Adams is going to get bumped up to president and Eric Staal is going to be the GM of the Sabres.
Frank Saravelli of the Daily Faceoff has written about the Sabres and what his sources are telling him. And it reads like a couple different things. One possibility, Frank and his sources don't know anything, and their sources don't know anything because it's league sources say the Sabres have discussed the option of a new hierarchy. They've also discussed the option of bumping Adams up. They've also discussed the option. He writes that they've basically held exploratory conversations with experienced executives. Okay.
Right.
But that those might have been tabled a little bit. It basically reads, as Frank Saravelli reports on the Sabres, like they don't know what they're going to do yet. They're just talking about it. And of course, there were multiple day meetings between Kevin Adams and Terry Pegula.
Yeah.
He pitched for days. Maybe part of the pitch is, I'm going to bring in Eric Staal. Okay. I'm going to bring in somebody else. Okay. This all still lines up to me
to, I'm kind of surprised that they might maybe don't do this. Where's the former player that wants the job? Mm-hmm. Even if you don't think it's a good idea, doesn't that kind of make sense for, it happens in the NHL, it's someone else to put on the face of this thing. I keep saying Ryan Miller, you've mentioned Thomas Vanek, these guys work in the Sharks front office.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you they're qualified, but that doesn't seem to be a thing the Sabres need, is qualified candidates.
Right, well, that's what they did yesterday.
Right.
But they're doing it with a player from a different organization. Like, and that's, maybe that's my annoyance is, hey, if you're going to bring in a guy to a kind of a do-nothing job at the beginning, not say he'll do nothing, but it's not very meaningful, I think, to whether you're good or bad next season. If you're going to bring a guy in like that, you know, and you're going to put it out to the fans and there'll be a release about it, what would make people feel good? If they hired Ryan Miller yesterday, I think people would feel good about that.
Yes.
If they had hired Thomas Vanek, people would have felt good. Jason Pominville.
I might be a sucker.
Although I think Pominville lives in the woods now or something.
If they hired Ryan Miller, I would be happy.
Yeah.
And it might be...
And they did the opposite of that.
It might be stupid. Again, does Ryan Miller want the job is a question we always ask. It might be stupid. I'll accept that. We all have opinions that might be stupid, but they also might work. And Miller, I don't know, doesn't every Sabres fan think of him as a professional, a consummate professional, somebody that's going to care a lot?
Sure.
When, I think it was when, is it Levi? No, Owen Power. Sorry, it's Owen Power. When Owen Power is the first pick for the Sabres in the draft, they had Miller cut a video talking about him and talking about what it's like to play, hey, Michigan kid, blah, 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 what it's like to play for Team USA.
Yeah.
I think it was when Power was the pick. And whatever, like, the idea that you connect with your fans, he does that, he gets that. Kevin Adams, I mean, he knows what it's like to be from here, but I don't know that, maybe it's because of 6 years. Does Kevin Adams connect with the fans in a way? Does Eric Staal? I mean, your answer to that would be definitely no.
No. Well, he does in a negative way.
Right. Maybe. I mean, for you.
The only types...
I don't know how many people really hold those grudges about the 06 Hurricanes. I know you do, and I don't think it's totally insane.
Yeah, and I know some people do. I don't think I'm in the majority.
I like to kind of poke fun at the idea that the 06 Hurricanes, like you, were the luckiest team of all time, blah, blah, blah. But that doesn't mean that they can't win because of the people they've hired. So
that's right.
I'm not sitting here saying Eric Staal won't help. I have no idea, you know, his role and all that. But it just, that's where I get to. The idea that they might kick Adams up and hire somebody else. The Buffalo News reported that Jason Karmanos, who is someone that's been in the organization and might have the most experience in a front office, he might not make it through. He might not last. So
and meanwhile, the assistant coach
is getting more say on roster construction. Yes. An increased, okay, if not unofficial, role with a voice in hockey operations decisions and scouting. Isn't that, doesn't that about Seth, so that's Seth Appert, the Sabres assistant coach.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that mean he's going to be the next head coach, maybe after one more year, and as if he's going to run an organization, run as a head coach eventually, we're going to talk to him more unofficially about roster decisions?
Yes, and isn't that something we kind of thought that was possible or even likely, that he's the man in waiting for after Lindy Ruff?
Some think he's kind of the coach now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not the one saying that, but I see that sentiment out there from time to time.
Yeah. Right. I was wondering if Lindy would be, there would be some story about how Lindy was going to get more say in more personnel decision making in the organization. Paul brought that scenario up with us recently, that Lindy would be that guy, and instead it's Appert, which I don't like. It feels like a promotion after you didn't really do your job last year. And I know he has more responsibilities than just the power play, but when most people think of Seth Appert,
they think of special
with
things.
The Buffalo Sabres last year, they think of, well, he was in charge of the power play. Oh, the power play was terrible.
Yeah, for long stretches.
Oh, and now he's getting a promotion? In a way? Like, again, like, it's, none of this even has to be negative to what they're building. I just don't really think it moves the meter all that much. And what you're at the same time doing is, I just think, these reports or announcements, like, none of it makes your fans feel any better. I don't think.
What could make them feel better? We are at this question, which we get to quite often. What could make you feel better? And the answer always is just win. Just win more games.
And I do think on a smaller scale, like Saravelli and then Friedman saying earlier in the day that they are looking for a experienced GM to come be a senior advisor.
Like Rick Dudley, somebody like that.
And Dudley is the first name that I think anybody should think of because he lives locally. And his official title right now with the Florida Panthers is senior advisor to the Florida Panthers. He's doing the exact job. Is it just there to the GM to pick his ear
just
once in a while?
Just basically hop on different Zoom calls now?
Sure, right. Like whatever that job actually entails, Dudley does it for the Panthers. So would that make people feel better? I mean, it would make me feel a little better. Oh, a guy that has been a GM, I think, three times in the NHL is now in the organization. All right. Into that?
Yep.
Like, that to me would be
credibility. You're looking for credibility.
Credibility. That would be the thing you need in the front office more than anything. Eric Staal is going to work there, and, like, again, I don't really think that changes much at all. But if you get a guy in there that's done the job a bunch of times, I can't believe that wouldn't help a little bit. There's no one in there right now that has.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. If you have a thought on this, you can throw it our way. I don't know the results of Gabe Davis against Eric Staal. I'll get the update on that
Staal
poll.
Staal is winning.
Well, maybe Staal's winning because Staal is definitely happening, and Davis, we don't know yet. I don't anticipate Gabe Davis coming back to the Bills. He was apparently in town recently. People have seen pictures, people posting pictures of him in town.
He was at the comedy show at the arena recently, I think.
Okay, so he's in town.
Allegedly.
This might be does the quarterback want him around? Does the coach want him around? I've got one spot where Gabe, I think, would make sense and help the Bills. And the rest of it, I think he'll get a better offer from somebody else. Pittsburgh. He could start for the Giants. I mean, the Giants have Brian Daboll and Joe Shane there. They would respect him for what he does. Mitch Morse tweeted about Davis's release. So former Buffalo Bill, Mitch Morse, who went to the Jags with Gabe Davis. He tweeted basically that he didn't understand it. How could they cut him? He's a locker room guy, culture guy, sets the tone, played injured the whole year, which is something that, by the way, for Davis, that's just how it works. He plays hurt all the time. He's going to be hurt, and he's going to play through it. And he's the Bills' best example of a guy that wins in the weight room. I'm not saying that in a negative way. He shows other players how to work out. He's the Iron Bill. He's the most dedicated. Do I think he'd be above playing special teams? I don't think he'd be above it. I don't know if he would do it or be good at
it. That's a good question.
But if they asked him, he'd do it, wouldn't he? I still think he'll get You know, yeah. The Bills might offer $1 million, and someone will offer $5 for Davis. Or three.
Well,
isn't there offset language where you don't even really have to pay him?
That's the thing. I don't know that anyone will offer him $5. He's not going to care because he's going to get $11 million no matter what.
Right. So you offer him the minimum.
Right.
In that case, he goes where he wants to go.
Because to him, yeah, I'm going to get $11 million one way or another. You're offering me $5 and you're offering me $2. It's the same thing to me.
That's right.
So for him,
he gets a choice.
And he's not going to make more than $11 million.
No, so he gets a chance to, where do I want to go to prove to the league I can still play so my next contract can be $6 million instead of $1 million?
And that is where I think the Bills will have trouble getting him in the boat, if they even want him.
Unless,
like, Josh can text him all he wants and want him all he wants and talk to McDermott and Bean about it all he wants. But if Davis's motivation, which I think would be fair, is, hey, I'm still only 26, just turned 26.
Yeah, I got a career here.
I got a career to have, and he's going to be looking for an opportunity to be on the field and produce. And does he already want to start the Jordan Phillips level, end of his career coming back to the Bills? Because you can come back to the Bills whenever you want. To some degree, I'm sure. If he wants to come back and be the fifth receiver and play special teams on this roster, he could do that in 4 years, I think, if his body hangs tight. But for now, you're trying to capitalize, I think, still, and get into a new contract. So you got to play. And, like, Pittsburgh doesn't have a quarterback, but that is snaps, at least, that are available. And yep. I think the Bills are going to have a tough time beating out, you know, I guess Dallas just traded for Pickens yesterday, but there are probably other teams out there where he feels like, I'm in competition for a starting job.
Sure.
And here, you got five guys to climb over.
Yeah, I'd go Steelers and Giants at the top of my list, and past that, we'll see. 803-0550, more on Gabe as we go along. Paul at 7 to talk about the new front office for the Sabres and what could still come and how this all might work. And Sal at 8, rookie camp is about to get rolling for the Buffalo Bills. Jerry in Cheektowaga is going to lead us off. Hey, good morning, Jerry.
Hey, guys. I thought about a way that we could get Gabe Davis on this team. Now, if you look at the way Dalton Kincaid's been going, where he's getting a little smaller, he's more like a receiver body type, maybe we could bring Gabe Davis in and beef him up, and we could put him at tight end. And then he can actually back up Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah. He would have to get a lot bigger. And I doubt he's thinking, I'm going to turn into a tight end at this point in my career. He is, I mean, Kincaid, who is somebody that the offseason for him has been about, he needs to gain weight, is still 20 pounds bigger than Gabe Davis is. Hmm. So,
well, Davis is supposed to be, you know, he wants to be fast. And he plays with good speed.
That's the thing. He is a downfield, I mean, right? He's a downfield receiver.
Mm-hmm.
He has been his whole career. And he gives you the physical ability and the blocking and all that stuff too. But his skill set is on the outside down the field, which, listen, that is where the Bills were lacking last year. The thing is, though, this is where, like, I don't feel like I need it. Is he going to be better in those areas for me than what they just signed in Elijah Moore?
Well,
because I would want to bet no right now.
I don't think he's – if there's one player that Davis is the most similar to in the Bills' offense right now, who is it? My answer is Keon Coleman. He's the most similar to Keon Coleman. They would line him up on the outside, which the Bills did all the time.
Yeah,
he's big. He's a good run blocker. He has build-up speed.
Yeah. How about running those routes, those with guys that just have speed? Just flat, that's it. Just speed. Not they got to work up 4 seconds to get to their top speed. How about guys that just off the line of scrimmage are like a lightning bolt? And not to say Elijah Moore is the fastest player in the league, but I if you've got Coleman for a lot of that stuff, then I'd rather have a smaller guy running the downfield routes. But I understand that because I even asked Bean about this last week. They lost Mac Hollins. They had two guys in the offense that had the physical ability to run down the field and also block in the way that helps their run game a lot. And right now, I mean, Mac Hollins left and they've replaced him with, I like the players they've replaced him with because they're better route runners and they're better well-rounded receivers. But if they care about the physical element of that position, that part they haven't replaced.
No, and that's where, again, like Davis, I don't know if it's the Hollins, the receivers all have these different roles, but Davis has an idea. I feel like if Keon Coleman were not here, I would have an opening or a spot to listen. Because Gabe is not playing in the slot ever. He's not going over the middle.
No.
He's going to be on the outside. And Coleman got a little bit of slot time, but not a lot. Like, you know, some think he could be a power slot. With Davis, he's an outside receiver. And, you know, one point, I don't think it's going to happen. But if you were to say, in Josh Allen's entire career, which player did he have the best downfield chemistry with? What's the answer to that question?
Gabe Davis.
Without a doubt. There's not a close second. Those two hit on deep shots often.
Could have been John Brown if they played longer together.
Okay.
But they didn't.
Maybe. So. Could have been Emmanuel Sanders if they played for 6 years. But,
right. But over time, it's
Gabe and Davis.
Yeah.
Had it. They had a lot of it. I watched all of Davis's catches in the 13 seconds game yesterday.
Oh,
you,
man.
You remember the four touchdowns. He had more catches than that.
Yeah. So you would have seen the Bills' final drive.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it just go Davis, 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 Sanders, Davis?
Pretty much.
And it's
I didn't see the Sanders throw because I only saw the throws to Davis.
And it's like it's just him on an island running like a dig route, and he's just open.
Yep. He's just throwing a move on the safety who's falling down.
Right.
They were just falling down as the Bills were going vertical against the Chiefs the whole time.
Yeah.
And again, like that might have lulled everyone into a false sense of what Davis could be, including us.
I thought there was definitely more there.
It might have also given us a false sense of how easy it would be for the Bills to throw it down the field. Like, oh, okay, he had a great game, but Allen and this offense can do that whenever they want. Because since that game, it feels like we've been chasing that idea. And again, Davis is the one that gave them that. Against Pittsburgh, multiple times against Pittsburgh, the 98-yard touchdown, when he rips away from Minka Fitzpatrick. There was a game.
I mean, the beginning of his career, didn't he have 7 touchdowns in his first like 10 games?
He was a touchdown guy. He was a guy that Allen threw the ball to, and it started to really drift late. And whether that's part of the Joe Brady offense where things kind of came back, he'd have 0 targets in a game. The game against Washington, I think he had 0 targets. No, maybe he had a touchdown there. Anyway, with Davis, the
Green Bay, he had 0 targets.
The mistakes became a little bit more obvious, a little bit more highlighted. There'd be drops and injuries. So letting him leave always, to me, made tons of sense. Like, all right, you're not going to pay this guy $13 million. Now if he's free and he just thinks, you know what, if I show enough, because if he's getting – here's the thing, Joe. If he's getting offered maximum 5 right now, what's that offer next year if he balls out? Everybody's already seen a lot of film. They've seen a lot on him. Is he ever making 10, 11 again?
He's not.
He's probably getting the Elijah Moore contract a couple times, and you know he's got a career left. I don't know.
Maybe he thinks he can get himself into the Curtis Samuel contract. It's like $7-8 million a year.
Right. It'd be interesting to see, you know, if they want him back and if he wants to come back. Does he view the room they have as, I know the quarterback, man. I played with this guy forever. Mm-hmm. You're telling me, insert name here, is I'm going to be a great teammate to this guy, but he's going to keep me from getting mine with Josh? Wait till I get back to training camp. Josh can remember me.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I mean, that's a good argument for it. I do think the money part of it is the one area where it helps them. Because no team is going to offer him more than the vet minimum.
Yeah.
Would lock it in. No team is going to offer him more. Because you're giving money to the Jaguars, really, is all you'd be doing. Right? Oh, the Jaguars now have to pay $8 million instead of $11
million. Yeah.
So nobody's going to offer more than that. It also, shouldn't it be a little damning to what he is as a player at this point that the Jaguars were like, no, we're good. Get out of here. Like they don't save any money by cutting him.
There's certainly a point to be made there. You know,
not for the person he is, because Moore's defended that, but that they have an offensive coach that just came in the building that everyone seems to think is pretty bright and is building a cool looking offense there, and he's like, I do not need this guy in my offense.
Right.
For anything.
I'll eat $20 million to do it.
Right.
There's certainly a point to be made there. I don't know what time in the morning is appropriate to make that point, because you know, I'm not even I'm tweeting jokes about, oh, why are we talking about wide receiver, and people are getting upset about it. Anyway, Gabe Davis, do you want him? Anybody interested? It is very, very doable if the Bills decide they want to go that route. The question is, would it make sense for them? Would it make sense for Davis? You can give us a call on that, 803-0550, the Sabres front office. Plenty more to get to this morning as rookie camp for the Bills opens shortly, and we approach, you know, schedule release as well. I saw one report on the schedule about the London teams. We'll get you that. It's 6 days from schedule release. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.